Hello and welcome to the Witchy Woman Podcast. This would be episode 4. So if you have stuck around this long through the awkwardness, the name change, and the shit show that is my life right now, I appreciate you so very much. Before we get into this week's episode, I wanted to ask, if you're listening to this, please hit the follow button, give me a rating, share it. This is my shameless plug for you to share this and give me some kind of rating. If I suck, please be honest. If I don't suck, also put that shit out there. The only way this podcast is going to grow is by you guys sharing and following and rating how I do. So with that, let's get to it. I thought that maybe we would talk about something that's common to a ton of different people, whether you identify as witch, pagan, you know, even Christian, agnostic, atheist even, smudging and incense. I think that's something that all of us probably have in common. If not, here's some information about it. But I wanted to do kind of a history of it, or at least do some research. Man, I can't even talk right now. On the history of how humanity has used incense. So kind of during my research, I figured out it goes back so far. And the tradition of using herbs and resins to support spiritual rituals goes so super far back into our history. It's amazing. It's no wonder that it's something that seems to be included in most cultures at some point in our history. From what I could find, the first recorded use of incense was in Egyptian traditions during the 5th dynasty, and that was 2345 through 2494 BC. It's a long freaking time ago, and Egyptians are sort of famous or well known for their use of oils and setting the ambiance for rituals using oils and herbs and incense. So to me, it really wasn't a surprise that they sort of kicked off the incense crave in humanity. Other cultures were also developing incense uses kind of simultaneously and afterwards, to include China, Korea, Japan, Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, and the Philippines, just to name a few. And it's found in a ton of different spiritual faiths and cultures around the world, such as Catholicism, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, Native American cultures, paganism, and seriously, there's too many to name. And there's too many countries to name at this point as well. Otherwise, this podcast episode would never end. So I just kind of narrowed it down to the ones I could find the most information about. In Greek history, there was a historian, and I'm going to murder this name. I'm super sorry if I do, but it's Herodotus, I don't know, that was around 500 BC, he wrote about incense of the resin type being used to drive and keep away demons. How cool is that? So, Greek and Romans used incense in their rituals, mostly for protections and for offerings to their gods and their deities. So here's where it kind of spreads from the east and starts to go west. And kind of infiltrate other traditions heading west. From what I could find, Judaism has been using incense for offerings and temple rituals since their early beginnings. I couldn't find a date or anything. It just seems to be inherently included in how they use it, how they set up their rituals and their offerings. And in the Bible, it's written that God told Moses to build a golden altar for burning of incense to be placed in front of the veil to the entrance where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. So there's even, that's not the only reference in the Bible about incense, but there was like the first, you know, they're written about God telling them, hey, use some incense. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Incense was being used throughout Europe in our history for religious and spiritual reasons, and I wanted to kind of link the use of incense to religion here in the U.S. Now, this isn't including, I'm going to talk about indigenous cultures a little bit later, but as far as the European traditions moving into America, I found that the closest link was the Catholic Church, and they are most likely the reason incense traditions were brought to the U.S. as far as religious ceremony goes. And it's really unclear when they started using incense during Mass, but most likely adopted the practice from Judaism. The Catholic Church uses incense for purification and sanctification. Common incenses used are frankincense, myrrh, and Damascus rose. Now, there was other ones, but these were the three I could find that were most often mentioned when I was doing research. And the reasoning that they use incense is that it symbolizes prayers of the faithful drifting up to heaven. It creates the ambiance of heaven and links heaven and earth. I really like the links heaven and earth thing because I really love finding little pagan tidbits in mainstream religions, and we're as above so below, that sort of thing resonates with me and a lot of people that follow a similar path. And I just like that it was in it was actually on a Catholic Church website that I found that specific reference of linking heaven and earth. And a weird side note, when I was doing research on what incenses were most popular, I was looking at this Catholic Church supplies website, and I found a resin kit that I actually have in my shop. I don't create it. I buy it from a wholesaler. But I thought it was interesting, the exact same kit I sell in my witchy metaphysical shop is on a Catholic supplies website. So that's kind of the link between incense in religious ceremonies coming to the U.S. Now let's talk about Native American cultures and kind of what their purpose, what the purpose of burning herbs was for them. So they use burning of herbs, and still do, in their spiritual practices to bless and purify people, places, and objects. Specific herbs used, it varies from one tradition to the other. And I really find it so fascinating that cultures all over the world, separated by oceans and land masses, found that the burning of herbs, wood, or resins, a useful and integral part of their spiritual practice. Like, I think that's fascinating that no matter where I looked as far as location in the world, I found some culture that included some sort of incense within their spiritual practice. I think that's cool. And for me, using incense feels like it comes from something really primal inside. Like, my ancestors from all over the world are whispering their traditions to me, urging me to include this into my spiritual practice. And I do burn incense a lot. Like, I smell, like, my favorites are Nag Champa and sandalwood, so that is what I smell like a lot. And I really would be not doing this any justice if I didn't touch on the subject of cultural appropriation. During my research of the subject, mostly about white sage and smudging in particular, I found that some of the authors online were cautious and some even apologetic about the subject of smudging as it pertains to Native American cultures and the New Age movement. I burn sage sometimes, and I'm not Native American. I am not an expert on their cultural or spiritual practices, and I do not try to copy or imitate their beliefs or rituals. White sage was just one of the first tools that I bought to use in my spiritual practice because it's in most books about clearing energy or preparing your sacred space. I read a ton, and it was the most common herb used, so I bought some. I didn't buy it thinking I'd be doing anything wrong by smudging, but now I don't know where the line is. I can see where people do cross the line with this particular spirituality area, and it really is a touchy subject. And I almost just left it out of this episode, but I thought it was important to talk about and to just see what you guys have to say as well. As a basic white chick, there are times when I question if I should be using a product or a spiritual tool that is from traditionally a different culture. I'm basically a mutt. I'm German, Bulgarian, British, Irish, who knows what else, and a smidgen of a Native American on my mom's side. I'm drawn to all things herbal. I love mixing my own incense blends and just enjoying the energy when I'm burning incense. I'm not trying to copy anyone or disrespect any culture. I'm just developing my own spiritual practice. And because we have the internet and books to draw things from, I pull in pieces of spiritual practices that resonate with me. I'm fascinated by the spiritual tools of hoodoo and even make some stuff myself, but am I doing something wrong? I second guess myself a lot on this whole subject, and it's a line that I think moves around a lot. It's hard to pin down, and it depends a lot on who you ask what their personal beliefs are. So, I really would like to know what you guys think of this. Hit me up on Twitter or the Facebook group for this podcast. It's Witchy Woman Podcast. I would really like to know what you guys think of spiritual practices and cultural appropriation. It's something I think about a lot when I'm buying or making tools or when I'm researching things. I'm in a part of the world where there's not a whole lot of different cultures around me. I've been around the U.S. and lived in different larger cities, so I've been exposed to it. But out here, we're kind of in our own little bubble. So, I don't know. Just let me know what you think. I also want to touch a little bit about white sage. I know there's a ton on the internet about not buying white sage anymore to support the shortage because of the over-harvesting and the droughts in California. I think to start with, white sage has become so stinking popular because of social media and the plethora of articles about white sage and smudging as it pertains to the New Age movement. It's all over the internet. It's what I thought was the only tool to clear energy at first. I was, you know, a little newbie witch, you know, back before I really had much access to the internet. That totally ages me, but I really didn't have a ton of access to just sit down and search the web for different ways to clear energy. I bought books, and the books that I read mostly said, hey, light some white sage, you know, put the smoke around the room and yourself, and voila. It really wasn't until later in my life, and I started to mold my own practice and really was able to research what I'd like to use, I did find other ways to clear energy or bless things. I love using stick incense, my own herbal blends, I use sound, and I also use Reiki to manage the energy, you know, in my home, my office, my space, and myself. Experimenting with different things is how I learned. So I'm not one to scold those who use white sage. Everyone starts somewhere, and maybe it's something that is truly crucial to your specific tradition. To do my part, I did start offering a type of sage that grows here in Nebraska, so that maybe my little effort will help in the long run. I also buy white sage from sources that do grow it themselves, and I'm going to try to grow some this year in my own garden, so wish me luck. I kind of tend to kill plants, so I'm hoping this is my year to actually have a successful garden. So I'm pretty excited. We're moving to a new home, so I can be closer to my shop, and my hubby can be closer to his family ranch. So I will have a new spot, a new plot of soil to work with. So anyway, while we're on the subject of sage, I do have some cool information that I really want to share with you guys. So there's a couple different variations of sage. I want to talk specifically about white prairie sage, which is, the scientific name, I'm going to mess it up, but I'm going to try. Artemisia ludovickiana. Ludovickiana, I think. Anyway, white prairie sage is antimicrobial and antibacterial. And white sage is Salvia apiana, and it's antimicrobial. And here's a cool study. So in 2007, a study was done, and they said that they found out burning sage decreased aerial bacteria by 94% if burned for one full hour. And the effects lasted for 24 hours. That's freaking cool. I think that's so cool that it actually, you know, gets rid of bacteria in the air. So definitely during flu season and, you know, when we're cooped up inside the house during the winter, I do sage or use some kind of clearing herb a ton more than I do probably in the summertime. I don't know if it helps in here, but it makes me feel better. White sage and prairie sage both have, I'm going to mess this up too, it's T-H-U-J-O-N-E. Anyway, this compound is mildly psychoactive. When burned, it enhances intuition, memory, and creates a state of mind beneficial for spiritual work. In 2016, there was another research project at the University of Mississippi, and it concluded that some benefits of white sage are elevating mood levels, decreasing stress, and also alleviating pain. I thought that was so freaking cool. I'd like to share with you some other herbs and resins to use instead of white sage, or along with white sage, whatever your preference is. Okay, I'm going to start. This is not a end-all list. This is like a really short list. So do your research, go online, experiment with things. But here is some. You can use cedar or evergreen, and that's to help wisdom, cleansing, protection. It's also great for money or an abundance intention work. Amber. Now this is a blend. It's a resins, musk, and floral blend. And this is great for truth seeking, love, desire, divination, and also past life recall, because amber, this specific blend of incense, is so old. It's been used way back. It's great for past life recall. So next time you're trying to dive into your past lives, try burning a little amber while you're doing it and see if that changes anything. Then we come, cinnamon is the next one. It's great for protection, power, cleansing, passion, love, and abundance. Dragon's blood, and that is a tree resin, and is for, empowering your intent or workings, also for love and protection. Frankincense is a resin, and it's one of mine that I use pretty much for everything. It's an all-purpose incense. It's great for consecrating items, your spiritual tools, for offerings and purification. Next on my list is jasmine. And it smells pretty cool when it's burned. It's good for meditation, divination, love. It's also said to help bring about prophetic dreams. Great for sensuality and moon magic. Lavender is next, and that's one of those all-purpose herbs. It's also great for healing, meditation, and refreshing your mind, body, and the space that you're in. Nag Champa, one of my favorite smells ever. It's amazing for meditation, general uses, spiritual awareness, and divination. Next, we have patchouli. This is a love it or you hate it scent. Honestly, some days I like it. Some days I hate it. So it kind of bounces around for me. But it's good for love, sex, money, and abundance. Rose is next on my list. And it is, you know, everybody probably knows, it's great for love, romance, self-love, to open the heart chakra, and also to stimulate spiritual gifts. Then there's Palo Santo, and then in Spanish, the name means holy wood. I thought that was kind of cool. It's great for clearing negative energy, grounding, and blessings. There's a whole nother controversy on Palo Santo shortages and the government in South America not being able to regulate it. So this is another one of those things that are going to, you just be conscious about where you get it and how much you use of it right now, because there is bits on the internet about it just being over harvested and not being ethically harvested. And then I did find things on the internet. I found one site said that they've planted like a whole bunch of just one particular family that has a business down there has replanted so many trees, and they're doing their part to help repopulate the specific tree used for this. That is a short list of the things that you can use in lieu of or alongside of white sage. So I want to do just a little bit about what I'm doing and what's new. So it's a what's new with me little bit, I guess. That was such a freaking smooth segue. Anyway, stuff new that's going on in the shop is that I'm teaching an intuitive development class. I'm gonna have two parts to it, and I'm teaching it at the shop, so I'm so excited. That's in like March 9th. Yeah. And, oh, okay, so I'm having my first Sabbath gathering at the shop, and it's going to be on Ostara. I'm really excited because I haven't done anything like this yet at the shop. I haven't opened myself up to sharing a Sabbath with anyone. So I think this is kind of a big step for me. Yay me. And I'm hoping I have a really good turnout. What else? Oh, I've been busy remaking new labels for my products that I sell at the shop because I have metaphysical shows coming up and I want to have extra stock for that. Oh, and I mentioned it before, but I have a new group just for this podcast called the Witchy Woman Podcast. You just need to search Witchy Woman Podcast or go to the show notes and I will post a link to it. But I am going to post things that have relevancy to what episode I'm working on. I'll have polls and questions. You can post there, ask questions, share memes. I kind of want you guys to use it as your like safe space to share whatever you need to do, because I know there's some people out there that are not out of the broom closet that would love a space to share that's safe. So this is the space that I would like to create for you. So go to that and ask to join. I will, as long as you're not a serial killer, I will hit accept. Not that I could tell if you're a serial killer, but whatever. Anyway, I will hit accept and join. The next thing I have on my list are witchy cliches and the fact that I'm pretty much just one walking cliche, and I don't care. I own that shit. I know a lot of people, I see it on the internet. Oh, don't be a basic witch. Don't be like basic and a walking cliche and be unique and blah, 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 blah. Whatever. I'm my unique version of a cliche, I guess. But I own it. So I compiled a list of the cliches that I partake in. So yes, I have a black cat. I freaking love black cats. And my black cat, her name is Smudge. I also have a black dog. Like, I love all things that, I don't know. He's a little chihuahua, but he's a badass little black chihuahua. I wear black all the time. Not because I'm like dark and secretive, but I just really like the color black. I like the way it makes me feel. To me, it makes me feel powerful. Like, maybe some people like sticking like a red, you know, outfit on with a lot of pops of colors makes them feel super powerful. For me, I feel super confident with black on. Now, I don't care if it's a black sweater, a nice tailored shirt. I do love me a really nice blazer, black blazer. I own two or three of them because I love them so much. I can like dress up my witchy ass with a black blazer and feel pretty good about it. I wear tall combat boots with skirts. I love that. I like put leggings on plus a skirt in the wintertime so I'm warm and I feel badass. I'm addicted to crystals. I can't get enough crystals. I have a whole collection at home. I'm constantly getting more, and then I have the ones in the shop that like I will cry if somebody buys, but they're still for sale. I'm always looking for, you know, my new shiny. I use herbs for everything. My daughter reminded me. She's like, she'll get a cold or feel bummed or like, oh my god, I think I broke my arm, and I'm like, it's okay, I got an herb for that, or an essential oil for that. I'm terrible about just, I use it for everything. Like this morning, she has a hurt knee from the car wreck she was in, and I know she's got inflammation. So of course, like when I'm making her eggs this morning, I'm like putting turmeric in there, get a little garlic. I've got some anti-inflammatory like herbs that are my go-tos that I use to cook with, you know, and I don't know, it's kind of how I incorporate my witchy shit into the mundane parts of my life. What else do I do? Oh, I blame shit on the moon all the time. I know half the time it's my own damn fault. If I'm grumpy or weird, my energy's wonky, I probably haven't been doing enough self-care, but yep, I blame it on the moon phases all the time. My dream house. My dream house would be like a creepy old haunted house, like an old Victorian house that's like stuck in the woods somewhere and it's completely haunted. That's a cliche. I don't care. That's my jam. I would love to be able to like live somewhere like that, like in the woods. What else? Oh my gosh. My house always smells like some kind of incense. I burn it all the time, sometimes twice a day. Yeah. Even my clothes sometimes, like my husband will leave. He's like, yeah, my coat smells like Nag Champa. Like, whatever. It smells good. Oh, and I smell like Nag Champa or sandalwood or really whatever essential oil blend that I was making that day too. So I always smell herbal or smoky instead of like a delicate flower that I'm supposed to be. I always smell a little different, so oh well. That's just me. That's how I do. So I would love if you guys would comment on your cliches. I know that you guys probably embody one or more of the ones that I do. So help a girl out, make me not feel quite so weird, and tell me your witchy cliches that you absolutely love and embrace as well. So you can do that on the Facebook group, you can do it on Twitter, you can do it on Instagram as well. I will try to post all three places for you guys to comment on. And if anybody would like to ask me a question or talk about this episode through social media, you can always PM me through our Facebook group. You can DM me on Instagram, or you know, get me through Twitter as well. So don't be shy. I would love to have somebody interact with me because I feel like I'm talking into the nowhere. So give me some feedback. Tell me what you guys want to hear, what you didn't like, what you liked, and if you have any questions, I will try my best to answer them. Tomorrow is February 19th, and this will be out, and it's a full moon. So what are you guys doing for the full moon? Do you have anything exciting planned? I probably will do something here at home. It's colder than hell outside. I mean, it's awful. It was like, negative 9 this morning when I woke up. So I probably won't be going outside for anything, but I do plan on doing a little meditation, some intention setting, and just kind of centering spiritually. It's just kind of a time of the month that I use to take note of my spiritual health, and have any kind of intention work that I need to be working on. I go ahead and do it I like doing it by moon cycles. So what are you guys doing? Do you have anything fun? Any Facebook groups you guys participate in any ritual or meditations with? That would be cool to know. Share them. If you guys would like me to do any kind of meditations with you guys or any kind of group things in the Witchy Woman podcast group, maybe we could start doing some sort of like Facebook lives where we do intention work together or just hang out with and talk. That would be cool too. So if you guys are interested in that, I need some feedback. I don't want to be like the lonely girl at the party who sits in the corner when I do these Facebook lives. So help a girl out and let me know if that's something that you want. If that's something you want, I will do them. So the only way for me to know this is if you communicate with me. So again, PM, DM, whatever, and let me know that you guys are out there. So anyway, with that, I think it's probably long. It's been long enough. I think I have said all that I need to say. Next week, this will come out. I'm trying to try to get a podcast schedule every Tuesday. I will come out with a new episode. So look out for every Tuesday to hang out with me for about a half an hour. All right. I will talk to you guys later. Have an amazing, amazing day.